Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. This is the second episode in our underrated series. So we are doing 3 episodes this week, all about states that we think are really kind of tragically underrated and make great destinations for RV travel. So in the last episode, we took you to New York, which I personally think is the most underrated state in the country for RV travel. Today, we're taking you to the great state of Michigan, which I think no matter where you live in America, you need to get to Michigan for an RV trip. It has so much to offer. I truly think it is an underrated camping state. But before we dive in and tell you all the reasons why we love taking an RV trip to Michigan, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing.
All right. So if you've decided what kind of RV, right, what type of RV that you would like to purchase, the next step is really coming up with that short list for what model you want, right, what floor plan you want. And to be honest, it can be a little bit overwhelming. You start going to RV shows, you start sorting through pictures online, and you forget what you liked, you forget what you saw. It can be really tricky to come up with the floor plan that works the best for you. All right. So there's a lot of options out there, and you really need to narrow it down to the things that are going to suit you best. And we say you've got to ignore some of the bling and think about the real livability of it, right? Where will everybody sleep? Where will the dog sleep? Where will the dog eat? From, you know, everything like that. How will you all sit and eat a meal inside, watch the TV on a rainy night? It's really important to make sure that the RV functions as a tiny home on wheels for your family.
Think about beds. Think about the bathroom. Think about the couch and the comfort of the couch.
Can you stand up in the shower? Things like that are things that people sometimes skip over because they're looking at the pendant lighting or the beautiful island or the backsplash. Right. So we really encourage you to focus on the livability features of the RV. We wrote a blog post for Go RVing that was called The 10 Tips for Finding Your Perfect RV model. And there's also lots of other resources over there on the Go RVing blog that you can kind of dig through and see what kinds of RVs fit the other families that write for them.
It's a great resource. We used it when we shopped for our first RV 10 years ago. We still use it today now that we're on our 5th or 6th RV. So to find your way, Go RVing. All right, let's talk about our history in Michigan, because we have some personal history in the great state of Michigan.
Oh, I don't really want to talk about that.
Well, too bad. You're going to. And I think that for me personally, our personal history in the state of Michigan kind of clouded my vision of it as a vacation destination for a great RV trip.
I'm sure that's true. So I went to college there. As many of you have probably heard us say at one point or another, Jeremy came out to visit me quite often. We were dating in college, and then he decided to actually spend a semester out there also.
I drove home once with $12 in my pocket. So, I had to drive around the toll booths.
You know how those times are in college. It's tough times. But the thing is that honestly, I'm not actually a cold weather person as it is.
Neither am I.
New Jersey is kind of rough for me. And going to Michigan and spending like the coldest part of the year there for 4 years in a row was actually pretty tricky for me. And by the end of it, I was like hightailing it out of there, never to go back as far as I was concerned.
I came out and did a semester, and it was the winter semester. So I showed up in January, and it snowed the entire winter.
It was rough.
And I mean, look, I left the first week of May, and there was no spring. I mean, what was spring? Like, it was cold the entire time I was there. So, I mean, quite frankly, once we got into RVing and we bought a travel trailer, it was nowhere near the top of my bucket list or on my radar at all to go back to Michigan for an RV trip. But then we started to read about Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, and that changed the game. that made me really, really want to go back to Michigan.
Yeah. And I think that we were kind of like, okay, we'll get through Michigan to go to Sleeping Bear Dunes. But then along the way, we've also had people on this podcast. We've met so many people that have really opened up the real world of Michigan, and especially Michigan summers. Let's face it, there's this like small window of magic, right? In the summer when the weather gets more enjoyable for folks like me. And then there's also all of these really beautiful sandy beaches along the coast of
which
the
lakes. Which we never went to visit.
We never went
when we
there.
Were there.
No.
I mean, we were poor college kids. We were broke.
Yeah.
We had no money to go take a little trip to Lake Michigan, and it was cold and wintry, and we were busy studying, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so the Michigan that we knew is very different than the bigger Michigan picture, for sure.
So our Michigan trip, I look back at so fondly, and really Sleeping Bear Dunes was the main destination, but before we kind of talk about Sleeping Bear a little bit, on your way into Michigan or on your way out of Michigan, I want to cheat a little. I think everybody should stop in Elkhart and visit the RV Hall of Fame. It is not technically in Michigan, but if you're going up into the state or leaving the state, it would be quite easy to make that a really fun part of a Michigan trip, don't you think?
Yeah, and then you have that really long drive all the way up to the top where you're going to Sleeping Bear Dunes, which honestly, you could probably break up somewhere else, you know, along the coast on the way up. I honestly think we probably would have done a little bit better if we had hopscotched our way.
Yeah, there's other spots along the lake, particularly where there's camping.
Exactly.
But let's talk about Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It's a magnificent location. It was actually voted most beautiful place in America by Good Morning America listeners in 2011. And that poll actually does kind of put places on the map that are a little bit underrated. And even though we went, you know, a few years after 2011, I'm sure that that was part of the buzz that we were reading about it a lot. So there are so many things to do in Sleeping Bear Dunes, and so many of them are super, super kid-friendly. My favorite memory from that trip was the Empire Bluff Trail, that walk along the edge where you're looking down at Lake Michigan the whole time. That was a really stunning, beautiful family hike. And there's lots of great family hikes in Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Yeah, and there's tubing on the Platte River. The Platte River, you know, is just one of those wonderful experiences. You know, when I think of, it's funny, I kind of think of Michigan in the summer as very similar to Maine in the summer. Like, I think that it's really hard knocks for most of the year weather-wise. And then there's, like, this sparkling water magic that happens in, like, coastal communities for this brief period of time in the summer. And so I kind of connect them a little bit in my mind. And places like the town of, like, Glen Arbor reminds me of some of the towns in Michigan, right? We had the Cherry Republic.
In Maine. In another light, when we visited Glen Arbor and we did Cherry Republic, I thought, like, because I'm a New Jersey, I'm a beach guy, grew up surfing, all that stuff. But Glen Arbor was adorable.
Yeah,
and I
super
thought,
cute.
Like, in some other life, I could live here and be very, very happy here.
But I just would have to escape. I would have to escape during the winter months for sure. The dune climb is like super fun and memorable for if you have older kids too. This is a great, I think Sleeping Bear Dunes is actually a really fun area if you have like preteens and teens, because we did a lot of paddle boarding. There's a lot of the dune climbs and swimming. So to me, it's very attractive for older
outdoor
kids too.
Outdoor adventure without the danger.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening and you have younger kids and you feel like you're not ready for Yellowstone or Yosemite or Glacier or something like that, but you want an RV trip that is adventurous where you can hike and get out on the water, Sleeping Bear Dunes is pretty darn user-friendly for little kids. I mean, when we were there, Max, that was, I mean, was it 5 years ago?
I mean,
Max and Theo were like 5 or 6 years old.
No, they were older than that. But yeah, it wasn't that long ago because they were paddleboarding on their own quite a bit. So they must have been a little older.
It was almost 5 years ago, Steph. I think the point is a good one, is that if you have little kids and you want a big adventure, this could be a really, really good place to go. Our recommended campground there is the Platte River Campground, and that's an NPS campground. And a point I'd like to make about this one, Stephanie, because we talked about this on a recent episode, this one, as far as I know, this campground is not run by a concessionaire. This is run by the National Park Service, and it is run by the Rangers. And it is a beautiful, clean, well-managed, classic summer family campground. We've been to NPS campgrounds, particularly out west, that were run by concessionaires, and they were kind of scrubby and not really well-loved or taken care of. Every inch of the Platte River campground felt really well-managed. And that's personally, you know, that's why I don't want to see the national park campgrounds going more in the direction of being run by concessionaires and being privatized, just totally based on my own personal experience. I've always thought the Rangers did a better job of running them if they're funded properly.
All right, now another location that we absolutely loved was Traverse City, not too far away from Sleeping Bear Dunes, but definitely a 30 to 40 minute drive.
Close enough that it's a great 1-2 punch for a vacation.
Yeah. So Traverse City is this really unique American city. It's got a fantastic downtown that's right on the lake shore. It has a couple of little like river, like I guess runoffs from the lake where people
that run
actually
right in, people
that
bike,
run. Yeah. People yeah. canoe and kayak.
We saw people paddleboarding to work.
Right. Like through these little, I don't want to call them canals, but that's what they look like. You know, going down through
the city.
They
were like canals.
Are they? Yeah.
Totally. We parked and we're like, oh my God, that person looks like they're going to work. And we saw them hop off and then walk up into a building.
And it has this really fun, vibrant downtown that's full of actually quite a few breweries. So that's been like part of the local scene over the past 10 years is that a ton of local breweries have snapped up. And then what happens is everybody does these brew tours like on bikes and everything like that. So it's just this fun.
We liked the Filling Station Microbrewery, which I believe that was the one by the train tracks.
Yep.
Then you also really liked the Jolly Pumpkin Brewery, which was
out
on the peninsula a little bit. And God, that was gorgeous out there. And you even bought a t-shirt at the Jolly Pumpkin Brewery.
I still have it.
Which you rarely buy souvenir t-shirts.
They had the nice t-shirts. They had the perfect t-shirts. I'm picky about my t-shirts.
You also have Moomer's Ice Cream, which was voted
legendary.
Best ice cream in America. And honestly, it's the best ice cream I've ever had.
The boys still talk about the ice cream they have. And you can eat your ice cream while like literally looking out over the fields with the cows. And I'm like,
you're going to wait in line a little bit to get it.
Yeah, you are. Of course, you always have to wait in line
and
for the
ice,
good stuff.
Whatever they call the flavor with the cherries. The
yeah,
cherry ice cream.
Yeah, there's
it
the
has
cherry
a particular name.
Moomer
was...
or whatever. And then the boys had like that on this like brownie sundae that they still talk about to this day.
So good.
Worth it.
Now, we actually rented SUPs from the river Traverse City, and that was right on Grand Traverse Bay. A great place to rent kayaks or boats or just swim. It was a little windy the day we went, but it was
a beautiful
spot.
Well, that's the thing
spot.
About the lakeshore is the wind's always going to kick up here and there. And you just kind of have to be prepared for that. Go out and enjoy it while it's calm and glassy if there's no wind. And then also you can, like you said, drive out to the peninsula and visit the Mission Point Lighthouse.
That is a
really fun place
spot.
To swim, to, you know, kind of wade around in the rocks and everything, and cute little lighthouse.
The boys spent an afternoon swimming there. It was just like a beautiful, perfect summer afternoon. Now, our recommended campground, and there's a bunch of good ones, but our recommended campground is Holiday Park Campground. I loved it there. It used to be an Airstream-only park.
Right.
It's not anymore. But there's still tons of Airstreams there. There had to be 50 to 60 Airstreams there.
Well, it's a weird place kind of because people actually own the sites there. There's some campgrounds out there that are like this. People own the sites and then they put up their sites for rent when they're not going to be there. So you have to put in for your reservation and then like wait to hear because like they kind of gather up who isn't going to be there and what spaces are available during what time. And then they tell you whether you get your reservation or not. So it's a little bit of a weird place, but we really enjoyed it.
And we got a waterfront site. We walked down a flight of stairs and could launch our kayaks right there. And I think it's called Silver Lake.
Yeah.
That lake is beautiful at Traverse City Campground.
I would also like to say we went through the Traverse City State Park Campground that's right there near the downtown. Like, it's walkable, bike rideable, although I heard that right now that bike path is under construction. I think that somebody in our Facebook group was saying that. But nonetheless, that's always going to come and go, right? But the location of the Traverse City State Park was really nice when we drove through. Like, I would have loved to stay there and had our bikes and just like rode our bikes into the downtown. That would have been nice.
The Traverse City KOA gets good reviews, though it's not right there in town. It's a little bit of a drive out of town. So like I said, there are good camping options there. But what I would recommend to you is don't just go to Sleeping Bear Dunes. Like, you might be tempted to just do a trip to Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It would be very sad to miss Traverse City just half an hour further north also a really, really beautiful destination. Now, Stephanie, there's a lot of other things we would like to go back to Michigan and do, and some of them are pretty darn high up on my bucket list. So what are some things we would do on a return trip?
Yeah, it seems really far away, but I'd love to make it up to Mackinac Island and the Upper Peninsula. You know, we had Matthew and Melissa Callis on the show a while ago reviewing the Sunset Bay RV Resort and Campground in the UP, which is like right across the water from the least visited national park in the country, right?
I think you mean Isle Royale National Park.
Yes, yes. And on their episode, they talk all about taking the boat over and spending the day there. You could also camp out over there with tent camping. That sounds like a really remarkable adventure to me.
Oh my God, the UP, it is high up on my bucket list. It's pretty far away for us, though. I mean, that is a really long drive. I actually have a colleague there, a friend there, who said that we could dry camp on his farm. And he has a beautiful location. He lives right by the Stormy Cromer factory.
Oh, and that's why you want to go dry camp on his property.
I want to go buy a hat in the Stormy Cromer shop.
You have enough Stormy Cromer hats.
Yeah, but if I went there, I'd have to get another one.
Right.
I want to do a factory tour. And of course, we want to see Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, which looks stunning and beautiful as well.
Yep, definitely going to head back. Don't know when, but we will get back there.
And I have to say something about the great people of Michigan. People in Michigan love camping. It's in their blood and they're passionate about it. And I think part of it is that long winter.
Right.
I mean, it's a long, long winter. And when that, you know, 3-month window opens up for camping season, people go camping in
Michigan.
When
you drive around in Michigan, there's always RVs in the driveway.
There's RVs in every
driveway.
Or like
a lot of them are old.
There's a lot of old pop-up campers.
Yeah,
it's like every other house has a pop-up camper or a small RV. It is in their blood there. I mean, look, the RV industry is close by too.
Yeah.
But I just love that fact that the people in the state are really, really into camping and RVing. So we can't wait to get back to Michigan. We think it is truly one of the most underrated states in the nation for a great RV trip. And whether you're on the West Coast or the East Coast or from the Midwest or the South, we really think you should plan a trip to Michigan. And I think you'll really enjoy it.
All right. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.